NBA Courtside
Podcast.
Justin, first I want to say I apologize for the layoff. So I was out of town the other weekend, and I've been coaching up a couple of 12-year-olds with teams and all-star teams and whatnot. So it's been a busy year for me. It's been a close one.
Coach is busy.
Yes, Coach Carlos actually does coach people. They're just not professional. They're 11 and 12 years old.
Future.
Yeah, there's some talented kids on the team. Yeah, we came together. It was really fun. We fought to get into the playoffs, and we won one championship tournament, and the other tournament that we played in, we won that as well. And then I got to coach the All-Star team, and I won that game 63-36. So all around, I got the what do you call it? The Triple Crown?
Yeah.
It's basketball with horses. But it is not. But enough about me and my kids.
Why don't we go ahead and get into the injury report.
Down, Chuck. He is not getting up. He's had the stingers that have gone through his body. He had just a glazed look in his eyes as he lay there on the floor.
But it's like a boxer who got hit, staggering, and has no balance, was obviously woozy.
And John Levington is really hurt.
Okay, first up on the injury report, let's talk about a few Phoenix Suns players. Miles Plumlee, dealing with a right knee sprain, did not play Thursday night against the Thunder. So I feel like this isn't that serious, but something you might want to keep an eye on for the weekend. His more stellar and more consistent teammate, Eric Bledsoe, is trying to make a return from knee surgery and could come back within the next week. But it sounds from reports is that he's going to be starting off the bench. So he's going to be coming off the bench for the Suns, and they're going to kind of ease him back into the lineup, which is a safe move. I feel like that's a good play. So Eric Bledsoe seems to be the better stash, obviously, as opposed to a guard maybe like, Drew Holiday. Speaking of guards, Jamal Crawford of the Los Angeles Clippers is out. Did not play due to a calf injury. And his teammate Jared Dudley, dealing with back spasms, also missed Thursday's game. So keep an eye on those guys. I think the reports are pretty positive that Jamal Crawford may be coming back sooner than later. Going on down the list, injuries. Paul Millsap has missed 5 games in a row, and he is missing some time with a knee contusion. So keep an eye on Paul Millsap. Hopefully his knee issues aren't more serious than they look to be. Okay, on down the list, let's talk about a couple of Washington Wizards forwards. First is Kevin Serafin, who has missed 5 games in a row with a knee injury. He's not going to need surgery, so that's a good thing if you own Kevin Serafin. No need to worry about that. But honestly, I feel like he shouldn't be owned only in the deepest leagues at this point in the game, getting closer towards the playoff push. Speaking about the playoffs, the Washington Wizards will probably be making the playoffs, but they do not bode well once they get there if Nene Hilario is not 100%. And it seems that you have some good news coming out of their camp. Good news, bad news. The good news is his knee injury isn't as serious as it was expected to be on previous reports. He's been diagnosed with a sprained left MCL. But it looks like his return table is that he's going to be missing the rest of the regular season. So that puts him out of fantasy relevance, and it is safe to drop Nene for now. Going on down the list, I'd like to talk about Jordan Hill. He did not play Thursday due to soreness in his right knee. I feel like the Clippers on any given day, they could just have two or three guys just randomly sitting. So that's to be expected. When I said Clippers, I meant Lakers. And speaking of the Lakers, looks like Nick Young did not play Monday and could be getting closer to a return. So he may be coming back too soon from a non-displaced knee fracture. But I don't see why you would need to rush back Nick Young. You take your time. The Lakers aren't going anywhere. Somebody who a lot of people have dropped at this point, and it's not any more not good news coming out of Lakertown. Coach Mike D'Antoni is not optimistic about Kobe Bryant's return to the basketball this season, and I feel like it's the smart play for Kobe Bryant to just sit this out and kind of play the offseason and try and recruit some help over the offseason and see what you can do there. But this seems like a lost season. I don't see why Kobe Bryant would feel the need to get out there unless he's really vehemently trying to chase that all-time points scored record held by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Let's go ahead and talk about a few Milwaukee Bucks players. First is Larry Sanders. Looks like he may be done for the season with the fractured orbital bone. So for all you guys that are going to drop John Henson, you might want to hold on to him. His value may stay a little more consistent. Maybe not as high as Ersan Ilyasova as of late, but nonetheless, Larry Sanders looks like he could be done for the regular season. Another power forward / center for the Bucks is Epke Udo, and looks like he's getting close to a return for the Bucks, dealing with a knee injury, and seems like it's just in time as Larry Sanders is slipping out. You got Epke Udo stepping in, so something you might want to keep an eye on. Talking about keeping an eye on, the Pacers have been keeping their eye on holding on to that first seed in the East, and Miami's starting to catch up. But maybe a player who can help them get them over the hump. Mr. Andrew Bynum was seen taking part in post-practice drills on Thursday. So I don't know what that means. There's a Bynum sighting where he's actually at the practice facilities. So at least he's not somewhere else philandering or what have you. Another Indiana Pacer dealing with a tweaked groin is Lance Stephenson. Played through it. Finished the game with 12 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 three-pointers. Not too shabby for Mr. Lance. Paul George has been dealing with back issues, and it seemed to affect his game as he went 0-for-9 from the floor Wednesday. So hopefully he gets some good massages or something, tries to get this issue taken care of, but something to keep an eye on. Kind of closing out your week, got any Indiana players? Looks like Jrue Holiday of the New Orleans Pelicans is no longer stash worthy, and reports out of New Orleans is that Holiday will be done for the rest of the season, which makes Brian Roberts a prime time pickup if you need help in the assist category. Unfortunately, the Pelicans dealing with another A-list player, at least on their team, Ryan Anderson, is saying that the herniated discs are not healing in his neck. And that's that was a quote from Ryan earlier in the week. So he's still experiencing tingling in his fingers. That is not good. So if you're looking to pick up Ryan Anderson, help you maybe in the playoffs or something like that, it's like a little stash option. He also looks like he's going to be out for the season. So that is not a good play. And that is unfortunate for all you Pelican fans, that's just not the way that you were hoping the season was going to play out. Let's go ahead and close up the injury report with a few Cleveland Cavalier players. Going to touch on it later, but Anderson Varejao has missed a slew of games with a back injury, and he's not going to be playing anytime soon, doesn't seem like. Players to pick up maybe would be Spencer Hawes. He's going to be seeing a lot of time at the center position for Cleveland, so he can get you a little bit of everything if given the right amount of time. Another Cleveland Cavalier is CJ Miles targeting a return during the next road trip, and he might even return before the road trip. So coming back from that ankle injury, it's good news if you want to maybe pick up a low-end utility guy in a deeper league, but most standard leagues, I don't feel like CJ Miles really has the appeal or bravado that more stellar free agent waiver wire pickup may have. That being said, I think that's going to do it for the injury report, so why don't we go ahead and send it over to the drop list.
I don't care, Bob, you're fired. You're fired! Clean out your locker at the club, Bob. You're fucking fired!
Okay, Justin, so let's go ahead and talk about the first person off the drop list. Most folks are looking to go and let go of John Henson. Do you agree, yes or no?
I do not agree completely with this. He still has some upside. They don't have a whole lot there in Milwaukee. John Henson should still be held. I know he's having a really bad stretch over maybe a week and a half, but he could still get those rebounds and blocks for you. If Larry Drew would play him correctly, I don't agree with this. I'm still holding him. I haven't been with it two or three weeks. And I've considered dropping him. It certainly crossed my mind a few times, but I held on to him because the upside is still there. So
it looked like he was getting closer to 30 minutes for a good stretch there in December, and now his minutes have gone back down closer to the mid-20s. So, like James, maybe Larry Drew. I'm looking at the production overall. Doesn't look very good. He's been hitting a little bit of a shooter's wall, if you will. Not getting it done really. A couple of steals here and there, some rebounds, too many turnovers.
His blocks are not there recently as well, which is really shocking. But
yeah. I mean, he'll throw in a game where they'll have a couple blocks. They're going to get you three blocks in an occasion. And then we had six blocks against Charlotte in late December.
December.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Milwaukee is just an interesting team. Who else is surging in Milwaukee over John Henson that would possibly be taking some of his thunder?
Was it Ilyasova? You saw him, Ilyasova?
And then the night stalker. But he does, man. No, it's in the night. Another interesting person to see on the most dropped list is Gerald Henderson. Do you agree with this? I feel like he's been consistent. You know, he doesn't get you the threes that you'd like or the block, but he sprinkles in rebounds and occasional assists and steals from time to time. Do you agree with this?
Yeah, I kind of do. They, the Bobcats don't have the best conducive playoff schedule, only 10 games for the play, depending on what your playoffs are, but from 21 to 23, only 10 games. And he's more of a point scorer only. He'll contribute a little bit more, like you said, a little bit as well, but he's not going to get those threes from the shooting guard, small forward position. You know, it's just, he's replaceable on the waiver wire for someone with a more conducive schedule or someone who's a hot hand. And when the Bobcats are playing with Kemba Walker and Big Al, Gary Neal, who's come over, has kind of stepped up some bench scoring. So it's, I guess, I mean, you could be Henderson, but I agree with him overall.
Another, how you expected this guy to come up on the drop list eventually, that was Elton Brand, and I feel like that's just conducive to Impeach coming back. Do you agree?
Yep, I do.
Yeah, because, I mean, you go from playing 30 minutes, 34 minutes, 40 minutes, you know, 42 minutes, high 20 minutes, and then to 19 minutes. Yeah, 6.3 rebounds against Portland.
Yeah, his old body can't hold up with that many minutes, too. So you know his minutes are going to get cut pretty drastically. basically. Under 20 minutes. More like maybe 25, upside, low side, a few game minutes per game. So somewhere in that range will probably settle in, and that's typically not going to be enough for the fantasy value for an Elton Brand player. So, especially anyone who knows Millsap comes back. We're also, you know, I guess the word is if Millsap comes back. When if Millsap comes back, then, you know, it's really going to cut into the playing time for all the other Hawks. So,
All right, another guy on the drop list, Plumlee, Miles Plumlee. I'm sure his brother probably isn't even worth owning in most leagues.
Yeah.
Do you agree with this? I mean, that kind of, I had picked up Miles Plumlee off of waivers after he got dropped, after the hot start to begin the season. And I kept him for maybe a couple of weeks. He did that dance, and, song was over, and it was, on for the Knicks.
Mm-hmm. And his numbers really dropped off. I still kind of like him, though, for the playoff schedule, and considering how bad the Suns' power forward center situation is behind Plumlee, like when Alex Len gets in there, he doesn't really do anything relevant. I mean, it's even worse than Plumlee. So it's kind of like between a rock and a hard place. I mean, Plumlee is...
But we can roll up the Morris brothers.
Yeah, there you go. There's some good sons there, the Morris brothers, especially Marquise. So, but more...
Okay, I'm sorry. I wanted to let you know, I was listening to the Dan Levitard show earlier today, and they had Goran Dragic on, and he was talking about he still couldn't tell Marcus apart from Marquise, because they're both identical twins. But not only that, they have identical tattoos.
Really?
Yes. Wow. Like, they went the extra mile.
Is it an ex-girlfriend or something tattoo? Or?
I'd imagine you probably do. Shared girls. Like, that would be very easy. Or imagine this, when you're in high school, alright, and Marcus fouls out, and Marcus is, he's gonna go in for him or whatever, like, you know, just go to the bathroom, switch jerseys real quick and come back out, and no problem.
Yep.
They have the same tattoos. Like, that's weird. That's like you're trying to go to the extra mile and be like, yeah, you can't tell us apart. Like, this is ninja style type shit at that point.
Messing with the opponent, whatever works.
And, obviously, Marquise, I think, is a better player, but, the Suns are interesting. I thought it was an interesting interview, so I thought I'd give you that tidbit of knowledge.
Inside,
which is completely not fantasy relevant. You love the show, as usual. Another guy that's on this drop list, do you agree with this? Surprised to see his name, guess you're gonna go ahead and jump into the Rockets corner real quick. Jeremy Lin, that's not good.
I'm going to do a pause again on that. I kind of agree with it, but I'm still holding him in my league. I've considered it, but I'm still holding on to him. It could be that I'm just not fully ready to cut the players I have, but their playoff schedule for Houston Rockets is not good. It's only 10 games, and I think it's a 3-3-4. Let me double check. Houston Rockets. 3-3-4. So week 21-3, week 22-3, and week 20. Your championship week is 4 games, so they have the championship week. But other than that, I mean, the overall flash game is not the best. And really, though, Lynn has been totally overshadowed by Patrick Beverley's stellar play as of late. So will that continue?
I don't know if Patrick Beverley can keep on shooting this well from the outside the way that he has been as of recently. It looks good. His stroke looks good. He's kind of pigeon-toed. His feet are kind of pointing in a little bit. His elbows kind of pop out to the side, if we're going to break it down from, like, aesthetically, like, as opposed to maybe Ray Allen having the perfect jump shot. But it's effective. And he's making it at a higher clip than he was previously, before he broke his, was it his arm, his hand? I think it was his hand.
I don't remember.
He broke something and came back. Now, Jeremy Lin looks like he's having a back problem. I don't know, is it spasm or just an injury, or I don't know, maybe like a contusion?
That would maybe explain his lower minutes as well. He's been getting around 15 to 20 minutes lately. It's not great, so. But again, it may change. I'm not telling Lin yet. I will go maybe come playoff time, you know, because that is not good.
He's dealing with a sore lower back. So, Jeremy Lin, dealing with a sore low back, and that's not good. That sounds like old man syndrome. I can't have old man syndrome diagnoses, very vague, very ambiguous. Returning timetables are, you know, unknown, from places unknown.
Ooh.
You know, in sense, like a Taiwanese wrestler. Another Phoenix fan, Channing Frye, is also being dropped in this league. Are you agreeing with that decision made by the folks in Yahoo Basketball League?
No, not really. He's gonna get you the threes. He's a big man. He's gonna get you the threes, which is rare. I guess I don't know his recent, he's really struggling lately. Looking at this too, there's quite a few people taking, 200 adds, 982 drops. So you have some people who are taking advantage of those impatient owners dropping him, and I would be one of those owners taking advantage of that. Channing Frye is, they have a good playoff schedule, Suns. So I would like to have Channing Frye on my team, not drop him away from my team.
So you're saying I'll deal with the lower number of minutes and the poor field goal percentage, along with the fact that, you know, he shoots well in the free-throw line for a bit. He gets you minimal rebounds. They say if he's playing about 25 minutes, he'll get you about 5 rebounds or so. A fifth, maybe one or two. He will turn over the ball. He's not that smart. He will give you about 2 turnovers a game, but he'll give you an occasional steal and maybe a block or two. See, I want those block numbers to be higher for Kane Frye. That's one of those things. Block numbers and rebounds are things that I expect from my big.
Yeah.
And I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the high free throw thing. So that kind of takes a little bit of guard, like stereotypical benefit with a big, but I still like the block and the board. You know, your chick, what, 6'11"? Come on, dude.
Yeah.
Come
on. And Miles playing injured and not playing well. And yeah, I know what you're saying.
You should be capitalizing.
Should be.
So I'm gonna say keep an eye on him. I think he might get out of this funk. That's the right at the time, right for the playoffs, first to kind of help the Suns get over the hump. But that's just me just being optimistic. If you got somebody more comparable that you may get into in the lead list, that maybe better option and may have some more staying power, then by all means, he's not a guy that you need to have. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes the prize game is fail, so you gotta go on to the next. another guy on the drop list, and I kinda understand this, is Trevor Booker. He probably, had a nice showing, a couple double figure games there. He had 14 points against Philadelphia, and then 15 points against Memphis. Both of those matches had 7 rebounds, you know, so he was getting upwards of 30 minutes and then 37 minutes. And then he has one game against Utah where he gets 15 minutes and he gets you 4 points and 4 rebounds. So you don't really know what's going on other than Washington.
Yeah, Serafin's been out, so it's something to watch. Serafin or Booker, Serafin. Which one is going to have the rebounds and have the production? Who knows? It's kind of a flip a coin, right? In fantasy, you want to flip a coin, play a flipping coin game.
No. Why would I want to flip a coin in fantasy? Sure thing.
Exactly. Right.
Flip a coin. Hold on here.
I don't know. We're going down to the next one, right?
Yeah.
No sense. I am upset. Now you're going to get me mad. Why are people dropping Kendall Marshall? I was listening to some other shows and them talking about Kendall Marshall being dropped days ago, a couple days ago, because of like 2 bad games or something, and Jordan Farmar doing well and dropping Kendall Marshall. No. The upside for assists and there, the playoff schedule is fantastic. Kendall Marshall is not a drop. No. You had him. You love him. You hold him tight. I like him.
Whoa. Where is he going, my friend?
Good.
You took us down a dark alley where you're holding down Kendall Marshall there. Probably against his will, to be honest with you. I mean, if we're going to be honest, Lieutenant Marshall's probably going to have to put out a restraining order.
I plead him.
Andre.
I plead him.
You plead him. So now you're tweet stalking Lieutenant Marshall. See, that's not fair. That's just not a good place to be in. Nonetheless, I'm not one to say. Let's just get down to brass balls, okay?
Mm-hmm.
14 days. This guy is only averaging about 22 minutes. He's only averaging 2 points, 8 assists, not even a steal, 3.3 rebounds, and 3 turnovers. His field goal percentage is 0.176.
That's
14-day average. All right, now I'll open it up. Let's go. Let's look at the 30-day average for Marshall. Okay, field goal percentage is a little bit better than .176. It's at 375. Free throw percentage is 50%. It gets you 1.23, 6.5 points, 3 rebounds, 9 assists, 0.9 steals, 0.1 blocks, and 2.9 turnovers. So
overall,
he was getting 27 minutes per game then. And that was the 30-day average.
Yeah.
Okay? You want to go season average?
Probably even better on the season. Yeah, I guess I see what you're saying. So maybe I'll turn this around just a little bit. But
if Kendall Marshall were a stop, it would be trending downward.
Yeah.
You look at the 30-day averages or the 14-day averages. Doesn't look like his shot's getting any better. Can he still get you the assist? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the cost? You're shooting 17% from the floor past couple weeks.
Good point.
I don't know how many games they play. That's gonna hurt you a lot.
It's
gonna hurt a little bit.
I do want to mention this, though. Like, this is a good discussion. I like this because, I mean, not a lot of people, we don't really break down with Kendall Marshall too often, but more people just say drop. Kind of like, what about the idea of his field goal percentage that was pretty good early part of the season? His three-pointers, he was making a lot of, was that even 1.6 three-pointers? And granted, the numbers are down, but they could go back up. That's kind of what I'm saying.
Okay, here's what his season averages are: 42% from the field goal percentage. But I'm sorry, from the field. He's getting 30 minutes on average for the season. 61% from the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
1.63. 8.8 points. 3 rebounds. 9.5 assists. 0.7 steals. 0.1 blocks. And 2.9 turnovers. 2.8.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a little bit better. That's almost a double-double. You got 8.8 points and the 9.5 assists.
Mm-hmm.
And then plus you got the 2 3-pointers. And the field goal percentage is 42%.
Yep.
Look, the past 30 days, down to like 35%.
Yeah,
the past couple weeks, it's down to 17%.
That's terrible, though.
You can't have a guard killing the three of the game that bad. Plus, he's never been great in the free throw line.
No.
He makes 61% on, and that's his best goal for the season.
They are low volume, though. Like, he doesn't shoot very many, so it's very, almost negligent. Like, it doesn't really affect the percentages too much on the free throw percentage. So.
You're probably right.
Yeah,
and he's pretty consistent at getting close to 3 turnovers a game. I don't know about you, but I mean, averaging close to 3 turnovers a game, if you're in a turnover league, that can be very costly.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. The numbers are really bad, came down. But because of what he did earlier this year, the upside, the ability for him to produce, we've seen it, and I think he can do that again, like, for the playoffs.
Also, this is what I think.
Okay.
I think that you're having, fond thoughts of a girlfriend that you once had, but when she was in a car accident, and her face is completely mangled, doesn't look anything like she used to, but you still have fond memories of what she used to be, so you still kind of kick it with her. And everybody else is like, bro, what are you doing? And it's not going to work out for you.
Yeah.
It doesn't work out for anybody in the end. Yeah. I don't know why, but your girlfriend in a horrific car. I apologize about that.
That's okay. She has no hard feelings.
She what?
She has no hard feelings for the
passion. She has no hard feelings. Oh, man. Okay, let me go ahead and end this drop list talk with he won the only Fleet Lou Williams. Do you agree that he should be dropped? He had one game with him, he had 5 minutes played.
Ooh, when was that game?
The most recent.
Yeah, I was going to definitely turn it downward. Yeah, I can agree with it, definitely. He's one of those great players. I do agree with it. But I like the Hawks playoff schedule, especially that first week. They have a back-to-back Monday, Tuesday on the first week 21 playoff schedule, so you could stream him for that. But otherwise, up leading up to that, he's fringe. So, I guess fringy.
I'm just wondering, how do you go from playing all these minutes and then you only get 5 minutes? He gets struck by lightning. Did he curse out the coach? Did he pull an Andrew Bynum and have sex with the assistant coach's wife? Can he do that?
I'm not sure. It is a lot.
I'm not allowed. No, I'm not allowed. Sorry, I can't say that. Can't say that on the podcast.
Can't say what?
Those words.
Oh.
The world does help. Okay, one last guy we want to talk about before we end the drop list is your boy, Clyde Sokol, Anderson Berrigan.
Mm-hmm.
But tell me, why would you be dropping him, Justin? Because he hasn't played in close to a month?
Maybe. Maybe. How about yes? Yeah, that's why. 12 consecutive games missed. They have Spencer Haas playing extremely well. They're going to even the role. I think there was a quote, too. Anderson Virgil was asked, are you 100%? Are you going to be 100% close? He said something. He said, I won't be 100% until summer. So, is that what you want to hear from one of your big men who, was producing at a high level before, and now there was a trade, and the guy who came in there, Spencer Haas, is playing really well. Speaking of trending downward, like Kendall Marshall, Anderson Gradoff, things are trending downward fast. So I can see it. I can see this as a drop. Definitely see it as a drop here. But it is interesting with their playoff schedule. They do have a good one. So if Varejo comes back and has a good game, or you do need the big man help and have the potential there, maybe look at grabbing him from the drop when someone drops him. But if you're really in a bind to make the playoffs, you've got to let go of Varejo. I ended up doing that in two of my leagues because he's just not playing. Just not playing, and things are turning downward.
Well, let me address the obvious, and that is that Cleveland has been a massive disappointment this year.
Yeah.
They let go of Bynum, and that whole thing didn't work. But, even with the acquisition of Luol Deng, I don't feel like they're playing for anything. And I understand they've been on a little bit of a winning streak after the All-Star break and what have you, but still, they're playing for the pinballs, and it looks like Kyrie Irving is on his way out, so Cleveland has nothing better to do. Their best invested interest is to, not so blatantly like Philadelphia, but, just kind of lose for the guy that they choose, I guess, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's plenty of up-and-coming diaper dandies in the NCAA division. So I think that's probably what they're doing. And you're going to see a lot of this kind of happen where it's a veteran player, say he tweaked an ankle, but they're out of playoff contention, and he's just going to sit a little bit extra longer. You know what I mean? Like,
such a good
idea. If Dirk Nowitzki tweaks his ankle and say Dallas is out of playoff contention or whatever, he's probably just going to rest it up. Then you got to look, okay, maybe I need to go ahead and add Brandon Wright again or something. Like, you got to be ready to pay attention to that kind of stuff, because don't just look at the ads and the drops and who's trending and stuff. Look at where the team in their standings are, because this upcoming draft is supposed to be highly coveted and has been, for a while. So I just think that's something you might want to, if you can find yourself a little gem for the playoffs, you go ahead and go that route.
Yep, fantastic advice there. Yep.
Okay, well, I think that's about doing for the drop list. Let's go ahead and get into the lead.
You can't close the lead you're given. You can't close shit. You are shit. Hit the bricks, pal, and beat it, because you are going out.
Okay, Justin, first guy on the makeup list is Amari Stoudemire. Can you tell me why he isn't added in all leagues?
Why is he not added in all leagues? Probably because he doesn't play the back-to-back. When the Knicks have a back-to-back, he's going to fit one of them. And then all of a sudden, one of those games will have a pretty good game somewhere up. He sometimes even has 20-plus points. But he had a recent game here, looks like on Wednesday. 18 points, 8 boards, assists, a steal, 2 blocks. So pretty good production, but it's one game. And then, of course, if it's a back-to-back, he's not going to be playing. So that would be why he's not added in every league. People react to the good game and they go at him. So I'm sure we'll see him on the drop.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's interesting because I love blocks, I love steals, and I love 3-pointers, because I feel like those 3 little fantasy goodies are there to push you over the edge. And when you see 2 blocks, 8 rebounds, 18 points, you go, okay, maybe he's getting it done. Only 32 minutes or so. But he didn't get a block. He did not get a block for 5 games, before that. He got 1 block. he will go 6 games, 5 games, 4 games without a block shot. Amari Stoudemire is allergic to defense. Don't get me wrong, but New York Knicks as a franchise are allergic to defense, with the exception of possibly Tyson Chandler, who thanked his team for playing horrible defense, for being the reason why he won the Defensive Player of the Year. I don't think it was last year, but the year before last, I believe. That's comical. New York Knicks are dumpster fire, and it's just one of those things where one of those teams, if their schedule is, you know, conducive for production, then, you know, plug and play and see who's available. But Amari Stoudemire, he's not on a back-to-back, definitely worth at least a plug and play. I mean, would you agree on that?
Yep, I would.
He could possibly get you another 18-8 or maybe another 12-6, who knows. Okay, next guy on the most added list is our family friend, Mr. Matt Barnes. He's good people right there. Like, I never get to any scuffles or nothing. He's just keeping his nose clean, respectively getting 28 points against Phoenix. Is that why everybody is flinching to the waiver wire to add Matt Barnes?
Yep, I think so. Again, it's chasing the previous stats. Also, Jamal Crawford doing all with the ankle there. That's maybe a little bit of tags on that level.
So you can see how Matt Barnes is just going to be filling in nicely. You go from playing 24 minutes the game before to playing 40 minutes with Crawford out. It's definitely going to help your conducting in general. But, Matt Barnes has always been a little bit of a scrapper. If he's getting the minutes, if he's getting close to 20 minutes, you know, he's good for at least a couple steals. He's good for, 4 rebounds or 5 rebounds. He's good for, 1 or 2 3-pointers made. I mean, the Clippers, it's not like he hasn't been getting used all season. You know, the guy's been getting fairly consistent minutes, at least low 20s, or mid 20s. And, when somebody gets injured, that guy just gets into a groove. So he shoots decent percentages when he has the opportunities and has been playing fairly well, fairly decent from just a regular basketball standpoint. But enough about Matt Barnes. Why don't we go ahead and talk about another Laker guard, Jordan Farmar, being added in a lot of leagues, maybe where Kendall Marshall is being dropped.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to revisit this again. Yeah, I like this ad, though. I definitely love this ad. Jordan Farmar is playing really well.
So you like the 20 points and 8 assists that Farmar had against New Orleans? She made
20 and 8?
Yeah, a couple 3-pointers. Only 1 rebound, only 1 steal, but only 1 turnover, so that's not bad.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and he has the most experience with the team there with the Lakers players, so,
Okay, so Jordan Farmar had a game where he put up 20 and 8, and the game before that, he played 22 minutes, he had 9 points and 6 assists. I mean, those are still serviceable numbers. 2 steals, 1 3-pointer. The last game against New Orleans, he only played 26 minutes, so it's not like he got a whole bunch of burns. I'm just, I'm confused here. Because then he had 30 points against Sacramento with 7 assists and 1 steal and 8 3-pointers. So that probably would have been the game you wanted to add Farmar was that game.
Yeah,
or maybe the game before that, Memphis, where he had 16 points with 4 3-pointers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of those games.
Mm-hmm. Either way, though, Farmar is still going to be getting some good burn here leading up into the playoffs and for the playoffs. And he's still a pretty good add. I think we must need to have Kendall Marshall from the primary is not available, so he can sweat that.
Okay, go ahead and creep him back into the Rocket Corner with your boy, my best friend, Terrence Jones.
Hey, man!
You feel about T. Jones?
Yeah, yeah, definitely like this a lot. 17 points, 10 rebounds, steal, 2 blocks against the Magic on Wednesday. Staying hot, Terrence Jones playing very well. Great ad. Small forward, power forward help.
Now, while we're on the, while we're in the Rockets corner, I just want to talk about how sneaky good the Rockets have been playing as of late. And I don't get a chance to watch the Rockets as much as I'd like because of the way that my cable is set up and the fact that there's this company called Comcast that sells the souls of baby African children to fuel their internet service. I mean, that's what I heard. they're not good people in general, personally. But the Rockets were playing good. I went to the Pistons Rockets game, being a big Pistons fan, and it was just an abomination. Like, there's no defense being played whatsoever. My 12-year-old Detroit Pistons team that I coached played more defense than these grown men. It was fire. So the Pistons are a complete dumpster fire. The Rockets were, I mean, Dwight Howard was throwing alley-oops. Terrence Jones was throwing alley-oops. Dwight Howard, Chandler Parsons was throwing alley-oops. James Harden was throwing alley-oops. Chandler Parsons. I mean, everybody flying and dunking and shooting threes. I mean, it's inside, outside.
Fun basketball.
It's fun basketball to watch, but I feel like in the playoffs, the more consistent teams that are able to slow down the game and run like a good half court set and hit some mid range jump shots, a la San Antonio Spurs, basically. Yeah, like those teams tend to be, you know, pretty effective when it comes to playoff time. You know, I mean, it's just consistency and just better percentages, second part. 3-point ball is not going to be falling as easily, and the alley-oop dunks aren't going to be there as easily. I mean, I don't know how far this Rocket team can go in the playoff playing with this up and down and fun and energetic brand of basketball, but goddamn, it's not fun to watch. I just don't know if, I'm rooting for them. I think they can go pretty far, but from what I've been seeing, you know, they've been getting out in front on a lot of teams, and if they don't have to play a close game and they get far, then by all means. Well, I mean, what team are you watching over there in North Dakota? You're a Timberwolves fan, right?
Well, not exactly. Like I mentioned before, the Lakers, obviously.
The Lakers are your favorite team?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because Minneapolis.
Right. Well, mostly because of Kobe.
Mostly because of Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, you love Kobe?
I like him. Wouldn't say well.
Class. Actually, that's the team Kobe you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go ahead and get out of the Rocket corner and let's talk about another guard that I added a long time ago. And that is Mr. Augustine. Don't call me DJ Augustine.
Yeah, he should have never been dropped. This is a guy I'm heavily invested in. Speaking of love, I love DJ Augustine. Fantastic. You know, you can ride it. If you stick with him, you don't need to add him here. So he's giving you super good stats here over the last recent couple stretch games. Sure, you can look at the game logs here. So DJ Augustine, great at.
Another guy, I never decided. This guy's got the speeches. I'm sorry. I never had intentions of adding this guy. I saw the people go and draft him, like, in late fantasy rounds. That's Kelly Olynyk. And he put a couple good games together. 21 points, 19 points, 8 rebounds, 5 rebounds, a block. You know, he knocked down a couple of threes here and there. Interesting kind of, you know, now with, you know, you put two good games together like that, and you're shooting 3 balls as well. Is that kind of like a little Spencer Hawes-esque?
Mm-hmm.
Spencer Hawes upside?
A little bit. The only problem is with the Celtics and the way Brad Stevens' rotation works, he's not getting the playing time fully, sort of. I mean, that may change, like you said earlier, with the point on where the teams are today. Celtics have nothing to play for, absolutely nothing. And they want to see, they need to see Olynyk play heavy minutes. I mean, it would behoove them to give him some heavy minutes and see what he can do, out there. All the young players, many of the young players in the fantasy here, you definitely want to keep your eye on them. And Olynyk is getting some, playing well here recently. Will he keep this eye up? Maybe. Hopefully he gets some playing time. Yeah, he's pretty interesting. I'm sort of interested in this.
Okay, so just so I have your story straight, you're basically telling Danny Ainge that he has been behooved to give Kelly Olynyk more minutes.
Yes.
That is coming straight from the mouth of Justin Mondre.
Yes.
You have been behooved. Behooved. Don't get it twisted, Danny boy. Play this white kid. Let him shoot the damn 3 ball and get some damn rebounds. Now, if you could block a shot every now and then, that would be good. Kelly?
Yeah.
With a name like Kelly, I'd imagine you're catching more waves than catching more block shots. But I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I'm old-fashioned like that.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like block shots are just part of his repertoire so much.
Yeah. Well, Ben, you love the Lakers so much. Why don't we go ahead and continue to talk about the LA Lakers, since it's just a hodgepodge of ragtag gentlemen that they just throwing in there. Anybody picking up guys off the street. Hey, we acquired you from Golden State. Okay, now you're playing 30-plus minute game. Your name is Kent Bazemore. This guy has been on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Four threes, two threes. That's pretty good.
Very good.
That is so good. The I'm going to go and add him in my league. Currently, I'm going to drop Evan Turner.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
Evan Turner
went and got me 22 points. No, not good enough. Dropping Evan Turner to Kent Bazemore. Am I crazy?
No. Evan Turner is going to be inconsistent off the bench there with Pacers. He's not in the future role anymore.
You have the bearded one, the Ferro. Antique. Putting it together.
Antique.
Hey, look, man, you get 10 points, you get 12 rebounds, you get 10 points, you get 4 rebounds. You know, just give me some block shots, dude. What's going on? You're another one of these Kelly Olynyk guys that lets you get the 3 ball. Don't let you get me the bliggity block. What is the matter? You are a man. You have a beard.
He was a man. He had a beard.
Like, block a shot. You know what I mean?
I do.
You're a bearded one. Okay, I have a beard. When I play basketball, I make sure it's against 11, 12-year-olds, and then I block their shot. And then when they turn around in fear, I point at my beard, okay? Because we're in Houston, and that's what you do. You fear the beard.
Especially in Houston,
In case you were wondering where I was going with that, damn Houston Rockets corner music. Let it go. I don't give a shit. Carolyn, block a goddamn shot. This guy. God damn it. But other than that, I mean, those free throws, knocking down the money ball is always nice.
These first two
can be a little inconsistent. But
yeah, these first two games.
I don't know. You're saying he's supposed to be getting more minutes?
Well, one would imagine he would get those minutes back, you know, 30 plus, maybe 30 plus, between 25 and 30.
Last game against Portland, it was a blowout, so he only played 16 minutes. So maybe that's why.
Yeah, that was 10 minutes. Plus, he's going to have some rough. He's going to have a little bit of rough here. But they do have one head playoff schedule, playing hot for the year, over 4-4-4 for each week. So he's a good add, good stash.
Somebody that I honestly drafted and I cut him, I let him go. A long time ago, he was a fantasy fodder in my mind. That is Marcus Thorne and my pride Fulton. But after being acquired at Sacramento from Brooklyn, came from Brooklyn to Sacramento. I'm sorry. Now that he's playing for Brooklyn, coming from Sacramento, and he doesn't have to share the ball with Rudy Gay, Marcus Evans, or Isaiah Thomas, which I also want to say is the only three players to average 20 plus points on the same team in the NBA right now.
Well,
so everybody talks about the big three. Sacramento Kings big three are the only team in the NBA to have three players that average 20 plus points.
Good.
Are you amazed?
It is kind of interesting. You don't really think about it. It's pretty amazing.
Well, Marcus Thornton doesn't have to share the ball with those guys anymore. Put up 20 points against Memphis in 26 minutes. You get your 4 3-pointers. Then the game before that, he only gets you 3 points. You got 20 minutes. So it's not like a huge difference in minutes there. And then the game before that, Milwaukee, the 1st of March, you had 25 points. Got you 4 3-pointers. So it's going to be like a hot and cold game, a hot and cold dance with Marcus Thornton. Is he somebody I can depend on going down the wire? Is Brooklyn fighting to get into the playoffs? What do you think, Justin?
Yeah, he might have some hot and cold, but they have a good schedule for fantasy playoffs for 4-4-4 each week. Might be a guy I'm looking at to roll with, Marcus Thornton. He does share a little bit of time with Paul Pierce and Joe Johnson, though, at the shooting guard small forward spot. So that might be something to watch as well. So, but thanks for good minutes, getting some good time, sort of with, you know, like you said, he can have these eggs once in a while, just like you had with Kings. So, a hot hand
and a cold hand. Why don't we talk about a guy who likes to put a lot of food in his hand, and that is a gentleman who's never meant a baguette that he did not like. That is Boris Diaw. As much as I make fun of him, surprised, you know, you get him over 25 minutes a game, he's got a couple outings, 14 points, 16 points, 10 rebounds, 5 rebounds, again, you know, he'll get you a 3-pointer here and there, and at least he's blocking a few shots, he's faster than, like, these other cornholes who were afraid of playing defense. Now, is he going to make all of his shots like he did against Cleveland on the 4th, going 7-for-7, and 2-for-2 from the 3-point line? Probably not, you know. I mean, I don't think that he's going to be averaging more than 10 points finishing out the season, to be honest with you. But if you need a few assists, you can do that as well. He's passing very well for big men. And I know that they like to use Boris Diaw in the high post area and and throwing it out to shooters. San Antonio does that a lot, not only with Borussia, but also with Tim Duncan. So he's definitely conducive for assists, and he's not allergic to rebounds either. So I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence about, you know, telling folks to go pick up Dia. What do you think?
Yeah, more of a, you can kind of see it. He's iffy. I have not picked him up. I've thought about it for this week and what, but it's more of a weekly gamper type of thing. Like, you know, if their schedule is good, then I'm gonna, you know, Dia sort of been one of the more consistent Spurs as far as minutes go and playing time, and you know, so it's iffy, like you said there. I like the way he looks now. So
another guy who is not playing as well as he could be playing, and that is Mr. Felton, the gun is not mine, Raymond Felton. How do you feel about Raymond Felton? I mean Felton, Felony.
Raymond, yeah, Felony Felton. There you go, how about that? Felony Felton. Wow, yeah.
You know, I mean, honestly, though, it's stupid because in the state of New York, the gun laws are so much stringent, stringent. Like, if we were here in Texas, it'd just be like another Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, totally. Absolutely.
Like, okay. Yeah, of course your husband has guns. Excuse me, ma'am, I'm trying to fight crimes and get parking tickets.
I'm an NBA player, for goodness sakes. I need to have a gun, right?
Yeah. He's like, hello, he's playing for the Dallas Mavericks, all right? A lot of people know he's got money. He's got to protect himself somehow.
Yeah.
Give him a gun. He's wasting my time, man. He's Texas country. What was wrong with you, Justin? Why do you even let me do this?
I don't know. It's just entertaining. Just watching the show.
Watching the show. Apparently your ears were broken, because that's how the show is digested. It's not a visual medium, in case you are confused as to what an audio podcast is. But they do have video podcasts, Justin. They do. But, we're not there yet. Technologically, you know, we're still dealing with beta tapes and whatnot over here at the NBA Fantasy Podcast Studios.
A-Track.
Yeah, A-Track. Hey. I don't know why people are dropping Raymond Felton off that bet. I mean, if there's a better option, maybe, like, would you go and pick Jordan Plummer over Raymond Felton?
Ooh.
See?
That's a good question. I'm looking ahead at the playoff schedule. That's the first thing I do when you ask that question. I go and I peek at my playoff schedule.
Who would you rather have, Raymond Felton or Jordan Plummer?
Who would I rather have? Just quickly off the top of my head, Raymond Felton. So, if I was still quickly off the top of my head. Yeah, Raymond Felton.
He keep for the season?
He's the starting point guard. Jordan Plummer is sharing time with Kendall Marshall. So, I'd rather have Felton. It's cool. It's close. It really is close. That's about that Felton. Pretty interesting. What do you think? You're teetering towards Plummer, aren't you?
Yeah, I think he's got a little bit more upside, to be honest with you.
I agree with you. Yeah, definitely.
As opposed to Raymond Felton, he is what he is.
He's pretty consistent, though, at least with his assists, a little bit pretty bad field position, so that's also great. So. Yeah,
I have
a few weeks of holding him. I haven't cut him or anything. I guess I've been at it. He's not available. Exactly. Some people are, I don't know. People must be in some leagues where people are dropping Felton. I don't know.
Maybe these are like, they're like no gun law people. I don't know. What? Democrats?
Special consideration league?
Yeah, all Democratic league.
All Democrat league. Oh, that's great. Only beards allowed. Only beards allowed.
only gun-toting bearded men allowed in this league. That's it. Well, speaking about another bearded man who probably also has a few firearms, and that is Andre Blatch, also playing for the Brooklyn Nets. He's boogieing down. He had a couple games there at 29 minutes and 28 minutes. Last game, though, against Memphis, he only got 16 minutes. Still got you 12 points, 3 blocks, 4 rebounds. What do you think as far as the upside? I mean, obviously the blocks aren't very consistent for Andre Blatch.
No.
But, you know, he does rebound. He's not allergic to rebounding.
Sure.
And he's just an unorthodox boy, man. He's just a street yard dude, man. Mm-hmm. He just throws up some stuff where, as a coach, and I'm watching this stuff, and I'm like, okay, we got a nice little setup here, a little high post, a little give, a little flash. Nope, Blatch is going to keep it. He's going to spin, move, fade away. Left foot shot, bank shot. All right, blotch. Yeah, that's a shot, buddy. Okay, every time. Sure, that's your shit. Sure, buddy. Like, what? Like, some of the stuff this guy throws up. And I don't watch a lot of Brooklyn Nets ball, but from what I remember, it is not like, you know, squaring up our shoulders and, you know, it's just very herky-jerky. He scores from a lot of different ways. He's an opportunistic scorer. If you're in a league where they track a field goal attempts and stuff like that, he doesn't get a whole bunch usually, but he finds a way to score, and he does get fouled a lot too for playing so minimal minutes. Like, he goes to the charity stripe, so he's an interesting player. But only in the defensive league am I really looking for, you know, for help on my fantasy. Mondre Blahovs, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And they have a, I guess, to mention real quick, yeah. I like what you said. Yeah, 4-4-4-4 in the Nets, yeah, last schedule. So it is very conducive and helpful for, you need some rebounds and points in the playoffs. Andre Blash could be quite a helpful cog for you. So something worth mentioning. But Kelly Olynyk or Andre Blash, who would you rather have? I'd probably go with more with the consistent Blash. If you're looking for the upside, Olynyk, sure. But who would you rather have between those two?
I don't know. I might go with Linux, because you have to think about it like this. Kelly Olynyk is on a team that is nowhere near the playoffs. The Brooklyn Nets probably still have a chance in the Eastern Conference of making the playoffs, you know, just to try and save face, at least. Mm-hmm. But even that being said, you know, the Celtics are going to be looking more to Olynyk to kind of evaluate itself, you know, and see what they have. And not only that, when you're looking at bad teams that are finishing out years, that are playing younger guys, they're not playing them just to see what they have. They're also hoping that some of these guys put together a nice couple of games against other opponents, and those opponents will remember. Hey, remember when, you know, Kent Bazemore went off on us for like 20 points that one night, and, you know, Klay Thompson was injured and he really put it together. Yeah, let's trade for him. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of stuff is what general managers are hoping for. They're hoping that these younger guys put together a good couple games so that other teams come and want to offer them a little bit more to up their value. You know, it's all a chess game, man. You want to see, you know, I want to make this guy a little bit more valuable to see what I can get in return, because we're already flush with that position, and only when somebody's injured can we really give him the opportunistic, you know, minute that he's deserving of, and maybe we can exchange it for something that we do need. Like, you know, this sort of thing happens all the time. That idealism that I imagine general managers are going through is why I'd be leaning more towards Kelly Olynyk. Sorry, I had to go down the rabbit hole there for 10 minutes.
Well, yeah. The message has been sent to Danny Ainge, for sure.
Yes, Danny Ainge, play that silver-looking dude as he clomps his big Frankenstein ass down to the three-point line and fires away. Well, that's going to do it for the drop list. You want to go ahead and get into your Amper ad there, Justin, maybe to kind of close out the week.
Okay, sure,
you
wanna, yeah.
Tell the folks about? Okay, Justin, go ahead and tell me, what guys can we add off the waiver wire? What teams are conducive for closing out this week strong and getting us into the playoff season that we're looking for?
Well, close out this week strong. Since we're late in the week, normally what I do close late in the week is more strategically looking at where I'm at in the standing, head-to-head, like, with my matchup. And I like to save an ad for the Saturday game. So I'm looking at Sunday. And I'm looking, like, late Saturday night, or after the Saturday game. So you kind of know where you are in your matchup, you know, before you add. Depending on when you're at, I don't know, you might not have time to do that. But for those of you who do, I like to say that for that last Sunday game. So that probably would be the main thing to mention here, would be, this is where you want to be really careful with the tampering, not to overdo your ad because it's coming to playoff time. And it's something I need to remind myself of often, since I like to make a lot of ads, is to really be careful. You want to prepare for the playoffs. Your main focus is the playoffs. Head heavies, of course. You want to have the best team during playoffs. So don't overdo it and, get over cute and do something like that. But you definitely just kind of want to win your matchup if you're really struggling to make the playoffs, just win that matchup and focus on where you're at. So like for this last few days here in the week, there isn't really a special schedule of anyone really. Like Saturday, Sunday, there's no back-to-back, which is very interesting. I mean, that's kind of rare this year. There's no back-to-back on Saturday, Sunday, so you can't really look to go on Friday night and have your stream for Saturday, Sunday. But you might want to look today, Thursday night. You might want to look at Friday, Sunday games and drop those players who only have a Saturday. Some of your fringy Saturday players. There are a few teams, and I highlight this on NBAFantasyPodcast.com. The schedule scanner, and as well as I link up, and I've been doing it for the last 2 weeks, linking up to the playoff schedule report for each individual week 21, 22, 23. Just kind of breaking down the overall playoff schedule. And I'm sort of been busy. I was going to do the scamper for advance for those playoff weeks. And I'll go into this each time, and I think it's kind of mention it. But the Hawks are the team that you kind of want to stash those players for that first playoff week if you already know you're in, or the first week at least. If you have a bye week, you want to be looking at week 22, obviously, for your playoff schedule. But for the bye week, run Hawks, now would be a good time to grab that pick, Harrell and Teach. If you know you're locked in for that first week of playoffs, if you have played in that first week, that'd be a good ad to focus on there. Maybe even Lou Williams, maybe not. I mean, he should probably be fringe if people are dropping him. So, that's kind of where I'm at as far as Tampa goes and what I'm doing with my teams and kind of preparing for the playoffs. And you can take a look at some of those things on NBAFantasyPodcast.com and just kind of schedule that this week. So the main thing is a Saturday game. If you have a fringe player on Saturday, good time to maybe cut him for a Friday Sunday game or wait until Saturday. Let him play Saturday and then cut him for a Sunday game if you need to win this week, depending on your strategic, where you are in the head-to-head matchup, and then make some moves. So, or a move, or two moves.
Or three moves, or four moves.
I was going to say, hopefully you don't have a limited ad, so hopefully you've already used at least one or two moves this week. I would imagine that.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the NBA ad and drop. I'm just very surprised. I dropped Lou Williams. You said to add him. I don't know. I don't agree. I said leave him alone. Leave old Lou alone.
I don't think he's either. He's probably going to be there for a bit. I don't know. The thing is on that schedule with the Monday, Tuesday of that week 21 is super helpful. If you have those Hawks players on Monday, Tuesday, when no other team in the entire NBA schedule has Monday, Tuesday, it really helps you to add them now in preparation for that. But granted, that's a gift. There's a caveat. In the playoffs already, and this may not. You have some complete does and this could not call it. But based upon schedule, it kind of looks like it is helpful. It looks like it could be something of that. So definitely parallel to that. Yeah, you could definitely hop on that trade.
If you could just block a shot, block more than one shot. You have a beard. You're a man.
He was a man. He had a beard.
But that's just me, man. I don't know. I'm old school. I coached my kids to a couple championships. I'm the best coach in the world, 3-time champion. You can't tell me anything.
No, I'm not going to tell you anything.
Look, I think that's going to do it for the podcast, guys. You can go ahead and check out Justin's Scamper Breakdown at NBAFantasyPodcast.com. Go ahead and join the conversation at the Facebook page at NBA Fantasy Podcast. Check us out on Twitter. Find me at Carlos_GRZA11. Justin, you are
JustinMondry_MD.
Get rid of these underscores. I just want to blow up my whole name all the time.
Yeah, there you go.
There it is. Well, until next time, folks, I'm just pushing on it.
It ain't hard to tell. I excel, then prevail. The mic is contacted, I attract clientele. My mic check is life or death, breathing a sniper's breath. I exhale the yellow smoke of Buddha through righteous steps. Deep like the shining, sparkle like a diamond. Sneaker Uzi on an Allen and my army jacket lining. Hit the earth like a comet invasion. Nonsense like the Afrocentric Asian. Half man, half amazing. Cause in my physical, I can't express through song. Delete stress like more trend, then extend strong. I drink my wet with Medusa, give us shotguns in hell. From the split that I lifted in hell, it ain't hard to tell. My poetry's deep, I never fell. Nas. Load up the mic and bust one. Play it in your system every night. My poetry's deep, I never fell. Nas. Load up the mic. mic and bust one. Play it in your system every night. The Buddha monks in your trunk, turn the bass up. Not stories by Aesop. Play salute up, parties are shoot up. Nas are analyzed, drop a jewel. Inhale from the L, school of full well. You're feeling like grill, it ain't hard to tell. I kick a skill like Shaquille, hose a pill. Vocabulary spills, I'm ill. Plasmatic, I freak beat, slam it like Iron Sheik. Jam like a tech with correct techniques. So analyze me, surprise me, but can't magnetize me. Scanning while you're planning ways to sabotage me. I leave a froze like heroin in your nose. Nas a rock well, it ain't hard to tell. What poetry's deep, I never fell. Nas. Load up the mic and bust one. Play it in your system every night. What poetry's deep, I never fell. Nas. Load up the mic and bust one. This rhythmatic explosion is what your frame of mind has chosen. I'll leave your brain stimulated. Niggas is frozen. Speak with criminal slang. Begin like a violin. End like Leviathan is deep. Well, let me try again. Wisdom be leaking out my grapefruit tree. I dominate break loops. Giving Mike's ministry cycles. Streets disciple. I rock beats this mega trifle. And groove even smoother than moves by Villanova. You're still a soldier. I'm like Sly Stone and Cobra. Packing like a roster in the weed spot. Vocals are squeezed Glocks and CZs drop. Though they need not to sneak. My poetry's deep, I never fell. Nas's rap should be locked in a cell. It ain't hard to tell. My poetry's deep, I never fell. Nas. Load up the mic and bust one. Play it in your system every night. My poetry's deep, I never fell. Nas. Load up the mic and bust one. Play it in your system every night.